fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to the program on this incredible Tuesday, September the 21st. Yes, it is the 21st day of September, and that's a hint as to what is to come on the show today. We've got lots of surprises for you. 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free line on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 888-914-9149. You can also email the show, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com, or you can grab onto my Twitter handle, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, and the show account is as follows, at Cale Clark Show. And a very happy Enchilada Tuesday to all of you. And the reason why I say that is because I actually had enchiladas for dinner. Not that you need to know that, but kind of struck me as ironic. You know, Patrick Madrid is, you know, of course, deep into the Taco Tuesday mythology. You know, it's kind of grown up around him and his show. And I just realized, wow, it's Enchilada Tuesday. So I don't know if that should be a new thing or not, but we can certainly look into it. We can certainly see if that would work or not. It might not.
Just bullet points. Okay, Oscar, I don't need the whole enchilada. Just bullet points. Okay, Oscar, I don't need the whole enchilada. Just bullet points. Okay, Oscar, I don't need the whole enchilada. Just bullet points.
Okay, yeah, that was Steve Carell from The Office. Appreciate that. All right, you don't need the whole enchilada. Okay, all right. Well, we'll just give you the bullet points then. But I have a very special announcement for you because we are joined today by a great friend of the program. In fact, she used to be an employee of the program. Karen Moran is joining us from her home in Arizona. Karen, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to be back with you. Hey, guys.
Hey, everybody.
Big Sister Karen is here.
Big Sister Karen is here. That's right. She's America's big sister. And, of course, for many years, Karen was she was an assistant producer here on the Cale Clark Show. She was also the co-host of the Family Rosary Across America. And she stepped away from Relevant Radio, from the celebrity culture of Relevant Radio, in order to, she's got a lot of fans out there. She's got a lot of fans, and I'm sure you're happy to hear from her. She stepped away to spend some more time with family, which is always a good choice, but it is great to have you back, Karen. And you're here today for a special reason, because producer Lucas, now we did this a lot last year, of course. We were playing a lot of the Earth, Wind, and Fire song September, during the month of September. And producer Lucas had the idea of starting an internet flash mob. Maybe, Lucas, you can explain this a little bit.
Yeah, so the idea here is, it's actually pretty simple. But, you know, life is hard. We all just need to have some more laughter and fun, I think. Mm-hmm. So the idea here is that when you hear September by Earth, Wind, and Fire during the show today, that will be your cue to begin dancing wherever you happen to be, whether it's in your car, at a supermarket, in your living room, at the barber shop. Actually, no, just kidding on that one, because they might snip off your hair in the wrong spot. But yeah, so just start dancing wherever you are. It's the idea of like a flash mob when people just kind of boom out of nowhere, start dancing. So even if you're by yourself, know that actually you're not alone. Thousands of other crazy Catholics will be dancing along with you.
So you can film yourself, you can take pictures of yourself and tag us on social media, on Twitter, at Cale Clark Show, or you can tag me at Cale Clark. I think, is there a Facebook account for the show? I don't even know.
No.
I don't think we're on TikTok yet. You can tag Relevant Radio on Facebook.
No, we're not on TikTok, thankfully. Although this, I feel like, would be good for that. But
it's not a free-form choreography, too. There's no rules.
We'll see.
All your moves, pull out the stops.
Yeah, we'll see if it works. So we will do that right before we take our first break. And hey, Karen, it's so good that you're on the show today, because one of the things I wanted to talk about was about another person named Karen. And I think she has her name was Karen Ann Cedo. And your name is Karen Ann, too, isn't it?
I am Karen Ann, yes.
Yeah.
It's a good middle name to go with Karen.
It is. My sister's name, as you reminded me earlier when we were talking before the show, my sister's name is Karen Ann. And it's sad that you had to remind me of that, but
we have to keep track of these things. Karens.
you Karens have to stick together, you know, especially in these times.
Do.
And I think you were saying that you were at a UPS store and somebody called out for Karen.
Oh my goodness. What happened? I didn't look up. I heard someone say, "Hi, Karen." And I didn't look up because I thought certainly someone's having a Karen confrontation right now and they're not addressing me. I was scared to look up what my name was called. And then I did, and it was my neighbor, and I was like, "Oh, hi, Sue." So this is where we are.
That's right, and that's why you should really, you have long hair. You should keep your hair long because you don't want to be misidentified.
I am not embracing the shortcut. Yes,
that's right. You don't want the Karen Bob. So, anyways, having said that, there was a really beautiful little story in the Los Angeles Times, and we have a lot of listeners out in California, out on the West Coast. And if you read the LA Times, you might have seen this. Daniel Miller, writing last night in the LA Times, talked about this story really went viral all over the internet. A brother wrote a very beautiful obituary for his special, very special sister. It was really poignant, and her name was Karen Ann Cito. Now, she died just a few days ago on September the 5th. She was 61 years old, and she had cerebral palsy. And Eric, her brother, Eric Cito, he just wrote this beautiful obituary for her, which was published in the Los Angeles Times. I'm going to read this for you. It's really short, but he did such a beautiful job with this. He said, "In memory of my sister, who never had wants or misgivings, she was born with cerebral palsy. She could never speak more than three words." And these are the three words that she would speak. Number one, "Mom." Number two, "Donald's," because she loved going to McDonald's. And number three, "Piano," because she loved music. "The past 2 years with COVID made seeing her beyond difficult. Only recently were we getting back to normal. Our father passed in 2007, and our mother this year in May of 2021. On my last outing with my very special sister, Karen, we took a sunny bike ride. She laughed and clapped her hands. When we stopped by the lake for a picnic lunch, Karen said, 'Mom, Mom.' I held her and told her, 'Mom is not here anymore.' Karen, totally out of the norm, put her head on my shoulder and tears ran down her cheeks. Yes, she understood. 2 weeks later, Karen herself passed away. I think she really wanted to be with Mom. Karen, I wish I could have made you laugh one more time. I needed you too. Love, your brother, Eric. Thank you to all that helped in Karen's care for so many years at Valley Village and Tierra del Sol." And so it's just a beautiful obituary that Eric Cito wrote for his sister Karen, a woman who never had any wants or misgivings. She had cerebral palsy. Of course, she could only speak those three words. But she was an incredibly happy person. And there's a picture in the LA Times story about the last day that they had together when Eric took her on a really nice sunny bike ride by a lake, and they had a nice picnic. And as he explained in the obituary, Karen put her head on his shoulder and started to cry, making it very clear that she was aware that their mother had recently passed away in May. And by the way, Eric also wrote an obituary for his mom that was also a big tearjerker. I could read that for you in a little bit. It's you're going to have to grab the Kleenex for this one, too. And so Daniel Miller, who's a writer for the LA Times, was sitting at his breakfast table on Saturday morning, and his wife read the tribute that Eric Cito wrote for his sister Karen in the obituary section of the Times. And she looked up from the newspaper, and she was like, there were tears in her eyes. And she said, "Hey, Daniel, you've got to read this." And by the end of it, you know, he had a catch in his throat as well. And so he took a picture of the obituary, and he shared it on Twitter. And from there, it just kind of went viral. And obviously Twitter can be a place, and Karen, you know this too, because you're on Twitter. Twitter can be a pretty toxic place at times. Yeah. And it can be a pretty, you know, harsh place in terms of the commentary. But Eric Cito's remembrance of his sister really touched people. And thousands of people responded to this tweet, including major TV personalities. Hoda Kotb from the Today Show retweeted this and got a lot of reaction from this. And people just started coming out of the woodwork. A woman who had been Karen's teacher wrote this. She said, "Every student is precious because every student is someone's baby or sibling or a loved one. And of course, remember, Karen had cerebral palsy. And people from all around the world who did not know these people, never met them, they started to relate, because a lot of people, especially over this past year with the pandemic, a lot of people have had the experience of having a close relative who had a medical issue of some sort. And a lot of parents, other parents who had children who had cerebral palsy would chime in, and they would talk about the joys, the pain that they experienced through this journey. One woman said about her son, who also has the condition, "He's an amazing person. I dread the moment that we depart from each other." And it also is just in terms of how Eric Cito wrote the obituary. A lot of people kind of chimed in on that too, Karen. One person said, quote, "If the point of an obituary is to make you feel that you knew the person and to share their loss, then the fact that her brother did so in so few words is astounding. What a beautiful tribute. Thank you for sharing your sister with us, Eric." Just really nice.
It's true. It was such a touching story you shared with me today, Kale. And it really represents a life lived, loved, you know. She, the pictures included in the coverage, she just, you know, exudes love. And even he does. And I mean, really, you know, praying for the repose of her soul and her mother, Shirley Ann's soul, and for consolation for Eric to have lost so much in this year. You know, I agree. Just straight from the heart, both of those obituaries. Just really make you feel you knew them and you knew his loss. So
okay.
You know his loss.
I got to read the obituary he wrote for his mom, who passed away in May. This is something else. And it was even shorter. It was only one paragraph, but it said so much. Here's the obituary that Eric Cito wrote for his mom, Shirley Ann, who died in May. He said, and this was also in the LA Times, "My mother was on the first day of her long-awaited mountain trip with her quilt group girlfriends. She called to say how nice the cabin was and how beautiful the weather was. She and her friends got to visit with her granddaughter and had a wonderful day. This would turn out to be the last day of her life, so I am so glad it was a happy day. The following is what I feel sums up my mother." And I don't know this is like a poem that he's quoting from, but this is just I have to admit, I got pretty weepy when I read this. He said, "My mother kept a garden of the heart. She planted all the good things that gave my life its start. She turned me to the sunshine and encouraged me to dream, fostering and nurturing the seeds of self-esteem. Her constant good example always taught me right from wrong, markers for my pathway that will last a lifetime long. I am my mother's garden. I am her legacy. And I hope today she feels the love reflected back from me. Love, your son, Eric." And that was published in the Los Angeles Times in the obituary section the week of June the 3rd. And so, man, that just, it just kind of hits you.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, Kale, we were talking about some of the things I've been reflecting on quite a bit in the time that I have had to spend more in person with my loved ones in the past 4 months, was that to love is to heal. And to heal is to have been loved. And how many of us have, you know, spent some of this last time, you know, the last time over the past year and a half healing, or maybe not healing, and we still have time, you know, to turn our attention to who needs to be loved in our life. I just thought those two things kind of fit really well together, because when you know, they say the only two things are permanent are death and taxes, you know, so we know we will lose the loved ones around us someday, but how are we loving them when they're with us, you know? And those two obituaries definitely reflect, a family full of love. I mean, and sacrifice too.
And it's absolutely.
Life isn't perfect, but here is what you do with it, and how you love the people in your life.
Yeah, and maybe we can ask the listeners out there a question. If you want to call in on the Kale Clark Show, 1-888-914-9149. How has this past year, this really stressful year with the pandemic, how has this helped you to love? Has this helped to heal some wounds? Have you been able to reconnect with people in your life, with family, with maybe parents, with other siblings, with maybe people you were estranged from? Let me know. 1-888-914-9149. And this was just such a great this tweet from Eric Cito about his sister Karen, who passed away at the age of 61. She had cerebral palsy, and this tweet that the LA Times reporter Daniel Miller sent out by Monday afternoon. This tweet had accumulated more than 184,000 likes, more than 2,000 people left comments. There's many more now. Over 10 million people saw it, according to Twitter data. It's just incredible. And so what this writer decided to do, Daniel Miller, he actually called this guy. He called Eric Cito to let him know, like, hey, I took a picture of the obituary that you wrote for your sister, the tribute that you wrote for her, and it just took off on the internet. So he called him. And by the way, this guy, Eric Cito, he's a cabinet maker. He's 64 years old. He had no idea. He had no idea how many people found out about this and about his sister and the other one he wrote for his mom. And he was so touched by this. But he really wanted to share more about his sister with Daniel Miller from the LA Times. So he wrote this piece, and you can check it out on the LA Times website. And Karen Ann Cito was born in New York State in 1959. And nobody actually knew that there was any issue with her health until she was about 3 years old. And then once they figured it out, her parents worked really hard to give her all the support that she needed. And they actually moved to a different town in 1963 so that she would have the access that she needed to great medical care. And when she was growing up as a kid, she loved listening to records on her father's record player. That's why she loved piano. That was one of the three words that she could speak, was piano. And anyways, her dad's name was Eugene, and he was a software engineer. And so when he would come home from work, he would take a nap, and Karen would always crawl up onto his back. And it was kind of a ritual for her. And even when her dad became older and eventually he ended up in a hospice, he died in 2007, she would actually continue that practice when he was in the hospice. You know, he was really sick and he was very frail. And Eric said that she would still try to crawl up on his back and just, you know, while he was sleeping and just kind of cuddle up with him. And he would say, "Dad can't really do that, you know, anymore. He's too frail. He can't take it." But he would let her do it. He would let her do it because he still wanted to have that moment with her. And so Eric Cito said that his sister was his dad's number one priority, and the only thing that he said before he passed away was he just make sure that she stays happy, make sure she stays happy. So she went to Karen went into this place called Tierra del Sol. In Sunland, which is a nonprofit center in California, where she got physical therapy. She took music classes for more than 30 years. And Eric says it really bothers him when people don't give enough care to their relatives who are in places like this. And obviously during the pandemic, that really came into the light, you know, with homes for the elderly where they just, like, all these COVID outbreaks happened and people were separated from their families. So this guy Eric said a lot of people don't want to acknowledge, you know, relatives in need of care, or they're embarrassed by them. They don't want, you know, that they just kind of want to put them away in these homes, and that doesn't sit well with me. Like, he wanted to make sure that he was still involved with his sister's life. And so one of the words that Karen would speak was Donald, and that stood for McDonald's. Who's in the obituary, there's a photo of Karen wearing this, it almost looks like a McDonald's employee uniform. And it was actually a sweater that her mom made for her, a little McDonald's sweater. And she just loved going to McDonald's and all her life. And Eric would continue to do that. He'd bring her favorite meal, cheeseburger, fries, and a Coke whenever he visited her. And obviously over the last year with the pandemic, it was really, really tough for him to see her. And they had only recently begun to kind of hang out again. And so that bike ride that they took by a beach not too long ago, that was the last time they saw each other. So yeah, hold your loved ones close. It's you never know what's going to happen. And just one last thing, Eric said at the end of the story, he related a tale that in recent years, when he started visiting with his sister, she kind of said something that she'd never said before. He'd give her a hug and a kiss, and then he'd say, "I love you." And again, Karen only said three words her whole life: mom, piano, and Donald's. But she said something else this time. She said, "I love, I love." And it only happened that one time, but he knew what she meant. And it was just a beautiful story in the LA Times. So it just kind of went viral, and I thought it was a cool story and a great one to talk about on the show. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. I am joined by Karen Moran, who used to co-produce the show. Great to have you back on the program today, Karen. And what have you been doing with your time since?
I've been loving my people. I've been trying to be in person. And like I told you, I'm so happy I could be here today. I was possibly going to be in Hawaii visiting one of my daughters that moved about 2 months ago. And I told you I can't get anybody to get on my side about being mad about a kid who moved to Hawaii. So anyway, I postponed that trip for a while, and she seems to be doing great. And just really, I was saying two very just standout highlight moments in the past 4 months among the many. Just two opportunities that I got to pray in person with my loved ones. I got to pray in person with my mother-in-law. We said the rosary together. I highly recommend, if you haven't prayed a rosary in person with someone you love, to try it. And we kept saying, stop crying. We gotta get this prayed. And then I recently had a visit from my older sister, and she asked that we would pray together spontaneously. And I mean, this side of heaven, I think that's kind of activity that matters the most. And it really undercuts the forces that are trying to undo our good in the world. So praying in person with people. Those are my highlights so far.
Those are good highlights, you know. A lot of people might think, oh, you know, but that those are the most important things. And I think that's just a beautiful story. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Karen, can you hang with me for one more segment after? We got to take a quick break here. Yep. That would be great. So Karen Moran, you can follow her on Twitter too, at KarenMoran11 on Twitter. And we'll be right back after this on The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149.
Faith, so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the program. It is the feast day of Saint Matthew. In today's gospel, Matthew hosts what's been called a Matthew party, where he just invited all of his friends, sinners though they may be, to meet Jesus. And that's where Jesus said, hey, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. So I'm having a party with some of my friends here today, with producer Lucas. Karen Moran, former producer of this show, is joining us on the line from Arizona, and we're having a great time. It is, as I've dubbed it, Enchilada Tuesday, as it were.
We're coming for you, Patrick
Madrid. Yeah, I don't think this is going to take off at all. But
we're coming. Shots fired.
Yeah, shots fired. There you go.
Oscar, I don't need the whole enchilada, just bullet points. Oscar, I don't need the whole enchilada, just bullet points.
All right, yeah. So I had enchiladas for dinner, and I am feeling good. They were great. And so I'm going to talk about St. Matthew later and what we can learn from that encounter that he had with Jesus, with all of his friends at his home. But first, we're going to actually go to the phones right now. Dee Dee from Phoenix is on the line right now. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi, Cale. Personal opinion only. Yeah. I would pull the plug on enchilada day.
That's probably wise.
I would pull the plug. And I have an option here. How about theological genius day? And then, Viva Cristo Rey. Long live Christ the King.
I like that. I like that. Theological genius day. Yeah, I like it.
Who's the Cristo day? Right, we got Cristo. Right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that, I love it. I love it. I love it. And we just all we need is a theological genius. So
that would be you.
No. Believe me.
Yes, it is. It's true.
I'm far from it. Far from it. But
You are.
But I appreciate the sentiment, though. Yeah. Well, hey, I agree. I think Enchilada Day is not going to fly. I don't think it's going to be trending on Twitter anytime soon. But hey, yes, Vivo Cristo Rey. That is a Spanish phrase we can all say every day. We should say that. We should live it out as well. So, hey, thanks, Dee Dee. I appreciate that. Thanks for the call. That was Dee Dee calling from Phoenix. And hey, Karen, have you ever heard of this this guy, James Clear, who wrote this book, Atomic Habits?
I have not. But you asked me about that, and I Googled it, and I love that. I love this kind of help.
Yeah, I've been reading this book. It is a New York Times bestseller, Atomic Habits, and It's all about how to get rid of bad habits and establish new ones. We all have habits we do all the time. And I've been trying to sort of take snippets of his book and try to apply it to the spiritual life, because I think there are some things, some strategies that we can use. And one of the things he talks about in the book is if you want to build a new habit in your life, you've got to make it irresistible. You've got to make it an irresistible habit. And he tells the story of this guy named Ronan Byrne, who was an electrical engineering student in Dublin, Ireland. And by the way, total sidebar, if you were listening to the show yesterday, I was talking about C.S. Lewis, and I said he was from Dublin, Ireland. and an astute listener called in and said, well, actually, C.S. Lewis wasn't from Dublin. First of all, and that's the first thing my wife said to me when the show was over. She said, Cale, where's Dublin? I've never heard of this. Do you mean Dublin? Like, yeah, I guess I was trying to, like, have an authentic Irish accent there. Yeah, yeah, I guess I was trying to come off like an authentic Irishman, but I'm pretty sure they don't even say that over there. Dublin, you know, anyways.
Oh, it was your bro. Okay.
Where is Dublin? Yeah. Where is that? What are they smoke doobies there? They listen to the Doobie Brothers in Dublin? I don't recommend that. I don't recommend any of that, but I like the Doobie Brothers, but having said that, the place is actually called Dublin, and C.S. Lewis wasn't from Dublin. He was from Belfast, so thank you to that listener who called in to disabuse me. We need an errors and omissions segment again. Patrick Alog used to do this for me. We can't connect him.
Yeah,
it was like kind of like a Tony Reale around the horn thing, errors and omissions. I need that every show. But so James Clear, back to James Clear, in his book Atomic Habits, he talks about this guy named Ronan Byrne. This is a really cool story. An electrical engineering student in Dublin, and he like a lot of us, he liked to binge watch Netflix, but he also knew that he needs to exercise more. And so what he did was he took his engineering skills and he hacked his stationary bike. I don't know whether it was like a Peloton or a Nordic Trek or what he had, but he hacked his stationary bike and he connected it to his laptop and his TV. So he somehow wrote this computer program that would only allow him to watch Netflix if he was cycling on his bike at a certain speed. Isn't that cool?
That's amazing.
It's amazing. If he slowed down for too long, whatever show he was watching would pause until he started pedaling again. So he was, in the words of one person, eliminating obesity one Netflix binge at a time.
Oh my goodness. And then eventually he hooked up gerbils to the thing so he could
probably
sit down and watch them. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. He's probably running the electricity to his home. But he's also, as James Clear explains, he was also actually employing, as he was doing this, an actual strategy that's known as temptation bundling. And you can do this to make new habits more attractive. So here's how it works. Temptation bundling, and I don't recommend giving in to temptation at all, but temptation bundling works when you link something that you want to do with something that you need to do. And so in his case, in Ronan Byrne's case, he bundled watching Netflix, which is the thing he wanted to do, with riding a stationary bike, which is the thing that he needed to do for the sake of his health. So this is a really cool concept, and actually businesses do this to us all the time, and we don't even realize this is happening. Marketers are really, really good at this. So an example Clear gives in the book, ABC, the American Broadcasting Company. I don't know if you remember this, Karen, but this was definitely targeted at women. This is back in the 2014-2015 TV season. Some people are big fans of Shonda Rhimes. She's like the brain behind the screenwriter behind Grey's Anatomy. There's a show called Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, if you've ever seen that show. So every Thursday, the company would air, ABC would air these three shows created by Shonda Rhimes, Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, back to back to back. And they called it TGIT, because it was on Thursdays, and TGIT stood for Thank Goodness. Well, they didn't say goodness. They blasphemed. They said, thank goodness it's Thursday. And so what? In addition to saying, okay, we're going to, hey, you can watch all these shows back to back to back, but ABC was also encouraging people, hey, make popcorn, drink red wine, enjoy the night, make a night out of it. And did you ever do that, Karen?
At that time, I think I was knee deep in raising children, so yeah. No. And yeah, I don't know. I've never really done that.
Okay, so I guess you were immune
to
their...
Book club is the closest I've gotten to it.
Well, that they are. Well, anyway, yes. So I guess their marketing didn't work on you, but the head of scheduling for ABC, his name was Andrew Kubitz. He said that, and he's apparently 6 cubits tall. No, I'm only kidding. Andrew Kubitz, he said that this was the idea behind the campaign. Quote, we see Thursday night as a viewership opportunity with either couples or women by themselves who want to sit down and escape and have fun and drink their red wine and have some popcorn. The brilliance of the strategy is that ABC was associating, again, the things that viewers needed to do, that they needed viewers to do, which is watch their shows, with things that they already wanted to do. They wanted to relax, they wanted to drink red wine, they wanted to eat popcorn. And so what happened was there's a link that was created in the viewers' minds between watching ABC with feeling relaxed and drinking the red wine. So from that point on in their brains, 8 p.m. on Thursday meant relaxation, entertainment. So the cue was 8 p.m. and the reward is, hey, you get to do this. So,
yes.
So I was.
Have you ever
done
this, Kale?
I've never done
it.
Have you
bundled?
I probably bundle things without realizing it. But I was trying to like apply this to the spiritual life.
Yes, yes. Have you temptation bundled?
You know what? I have not.
I
but
bet
maybe
you have.
Maybe I have without realizing it. That's quite possible. But I was thinking about
Walking the dog. Did you ever pray the rosary?
Yes,
when you're walking
I do it all the time.
Then you've done it.
I guess I have done it, but that's a good thing. Like, cause that's because we know we need to pray more.
You want to pray. You have time. Yes.
Yeah, and as I was telling you before, Karen, you know, Egbert, I literally just did that before the show started. I took Egbert out for a walk, and Egbert, poor Egbert, he's the official. Especially now that Mikey, your dog, is no longer part of the action because he stepped away. Egbert has.
Action.
Become the unquestioned, the unchallenged official
the
canine of the Cale Clark Show. But poor Egbert, he's getting up there. He's pretty old. He can't see anymore. He can't really hear anything anymore. But he does love to eat. He still loves to walk. And I have done that. I've walked the dog and prayed the rosary. Why not? It's a good link.
Habit bundled or whatever we call that. Temptation bundle? I don't know.
That doesn't sound good. Let's call it habit bundling. Okay, let's try that.
Habit bundling.
Yeah, because...
And you have an atomic habit now where you walk
it's an atomic habit.
You pray.
Yeah, it's powerful. But I was thinking, we were going through... I didn't get too far in my list, but I was talking about spiritual habits that I think we need to implement every day. And one of the things that we can do is try to link something that we want to do with something that we know is good for us, but we don't necessarily want to do it, like prayer, because the catechism says prayer is a battle. It's always a battle. Right? You don't often feel like praying. Maybe some people do. They're just like, oh, I love it. I can't wait to go pray. But for me, sometimes it's a struggle. And maybe I'm alone in this. I don't know. Maybe you can identify with this.
Yeah. I think you do. I think you develop. You attempt to create a habit, and then out of that habit comes your desire to want to have that activity. So maybe praying the rosary every morning when you wake up is something that you want to try and start doing, and then I feel like this is where novenas come in, because try and pray the rosary 9 days in a row for a specific intention can sometimes be very difficult. So as you keep retrying to get the 9 days, And after 9 days, what are the chances you're going to pray again on the 10th day? Probably pretty good, because now you're in the habit.
Because you formed a habit. That's a great point. Yeah, the novenas, the 9 day prayers, can really, really get us on a roll. And same with like seasons of, like, for example, Lent or Advent, where you maybe take on some extra spiritual practices and hopefully make some new habits. And one of the habits I wanted.
It's not there.
Yeah, for sure. And so I talked about a couple habits. There's a few habits I think all of us could do every day if we really put our minds to it. And one of them was, of course, just daily prayer, the morning offering, I think is a good thing. So one example of habit stacking or habit bundling, you could say, would be, okay, maybe you're used to getting up and having your morning coffee as soon as you wake up. Maybe link that with doing your morning offering. Like, you know, before you take a sip of that coffee, offer the day to God. That could be one thing. So I talked about the morning offering. I talked about daily mental prayer. But the one I wanted to talk about today is a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. This is something that has been a spiritual practice that, and maybe you could, again, link it with something that you want to do. Saint Pope Paul VI, he said this in an encyclical letter. It's called Mysterium Fidei. He said, "The faithful should not neglect each day to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament, which ought to be reserved in churches in a most worthy place with maximum honor, according to the liturgical laws, since this visit is proof of gratitude, a sign of love, and a duty of adoration to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is present there." So if we are striving to live, if we really do believe Jesus is there in the tabernacle, it's kind of like if you knew Jesus was in your local park, you know, would you not try to visit him, you know, like drop by and say something to him, you know, on your way home from work or whatever, right? And maybe we don't have time to linger for hours. Maybe our schedule does allow that. We always see people in parishes who are able to stay and pray. Maybe they're retired or something. They can pray and intercede for people and spend some more time there. But maybe we have 5 minutes as we're driving home. We can pass by a church. We can pop in. We can say hi to our Lord, because really he makes himself a prisoner in the tabernacle for our sake. He does that so that we can visit him and we can be with him. And I think that's really kind of a cool concept.
I love it. And you know, there was a time before the pandemic at Relevant Radio that Father Rocky was encouraging all of us to stop in every day, even just for a moment, to adoration. And this was when I lived in California. I lived about 3-4 miles from my parish, and I loved developing that habit of staying longer if I could, but going daily. And even now, it's such the experience of going and being there. I know at the end of a day when I do that, my day, for some reason, is, I don't know, it feels longer and better and peaceful. I don't know. I've noticed that the days that I spend in adoration are some of the best days I have. And I'm really blessed that our parish offers a daily adoration even now. And it's beautiful. And I remember, you know, not growing up with adoration as a habit in my faith background, and not knowing what it was, and hearing someone outside of the faith saying, questioning and asking, if you're there, show me that you're there. You know, asking, and you know, if you have questions, you're not sure, you don't understand, just go there and be there.
Yeah,
it becomes a clarifying moment of what exactly is the Eucharist, you know? Yeah.
I love
really
it.
Really beautiful experience.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And I remember hearing the story about that St. Jose Maria Escrivá told, the founder of Opus Dei. He was hearing confessions in a parish in Spain. And he was just sitting in the confessional and was kind of waiting for people to show up. And then he heard like this clanging in the church. And there was nobody in the church. It was just this, heard all this racket. And these bottles, you know, kind of clinking against each other. And so he looked out of the confessional to see what was going on. And there was this milkman that came in there. He was holding his milk bottles and everything. And he just came into the parish and just to make a visit to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And St. Jose Maria said, hey, you know, what's your name? He's like, oh, my, you know, my name's Juan. You know, John. I'm John the Milkman. He's like, oh, tell me, what are you saying to Jesus? He's like, well, I don't really say too much. I just say, hey, Jesus, it's John the Milkman, and here I am, and here you are, and they just, you know, I'm here just to see you and to pray and to just take a minute out of my day to talk to you. And St. Jose Maria was like, hey, John the Milkman puts a lot of us to shame because he made the effort to go and see our Lord. And so, I don't know, maybe there's a way you can kind of link that to something you already do, picking up the kids from school or dropping them off or going on a Starbucks run or on your way home from work or something like that. We could.
We all have our route, you know, route through town.
We do.
Right on your route.
Absolutely. Well, we got to take a break in just a second. And Karen, I really want to thank you for joining me today on the show. It's great to have you with me. And we got to take a quick break right now. And just on the other side of the break, we're going to do our flash mob dance. All right, we'll be right back on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the program. It is The Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Really want to thank Karen Moran. You can follow her on Twitter at KarenMoran11. And it was just like old times, producer Lucas, having Karen back on the show and just kind of riffing and sharing ideas. And she's such a great gal. And we miss her a lot. And I know she's spending a great amount of time with her family. And she's just, but boy, I would love to lure her back somehow to Relevant Radio. Maybe one day. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm going to start a hashtag on Twitter. For the show account that says, come back, Karen.
Come back,
hashtag
Karen.
Come back, Karen. No,
yeah,
just
that's
kidding.
Right.
She's doing a lot for her family.
No, she is. She really is. Yeah. And Karen is great. And I know that Karen is getting her phone ready. She's going to film herself doing our flash mob dance. We're gonna play a tune, and you know what tune it is. It's September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, because it is the 21st day of September. That's part of the lyrics. And we are going to ask you now if you want to take part in the dance mob by simply just taking a shot of yourself or filming yourself dancing. And you can tag us on social media. At Cale Clark is my Twitter handle, at Cale Clark Show. You can tag Relevant Radio on Facebook if you want, and they'll be like, what is this? So here we go. Lucas, are you ready?
Ready.
All right.
Here we go.
Hit play. Okay, this is not a great dance party so far. So it's a silent flash
mob. The system's being overwhelmed by the music. I need to restart it here. Give me a few seconds.
All right, okay. You just let me know when you're ready. But speaking of partying, Matthew the Apostle certainly had a great party at his place for Jesus and his friends. He wanted his friends to meet Jesus. And this is a great thing to do. This is a great thing to do. You can invite people to your place, have a Matthew party, and do something. You can watch a video clip. You can gather around and listen to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Or you could even do a flash mob like we're going to do right now. The technical difficulties have been overcome. Here we go. Okay, I think we got to cut in there because if we don't, people are going to be tuning into Relevant Radio saying, have they turned into an adult contemporary station or what have I missed here? But hey, who knows? Maybe the Apostle Matthew. And I want to see your videos. Tag us on, you know, hashtag Cale Clark Show. You can at me on Twitter, at Kale Clark, at Kale Clark Show. I want to see your videos. I know you guys are dancing to that, and I want to check it out. Hey, just like David danced, right, before the Ark in the Old Testament. Everyone said, what is he doing? He's lost his mind. He's gone nuts. And he said, yeah, I'm going to be even more undignified here because I have no shame. I am dancing before the presence of the Lord here. All right, well, I don't know what kind of music Matthew is playing in this Matthew party, but here's the gospel passage in question. It was the reading for today, the gospel for today for the Feast of St. Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, this is Jesus, obviously, who heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." So obviously, one of the worst things you could be, if you were a Jewish person in the first century, Roman Empire, was a tax collector, a toll collector, working for the hated Romans who were occupying the Holy Land. It was just a really, really, your fellow Jews didn't think too highly of you if they were observant, if they were Torah observant. And at this dinner that Matthew holds at his house, obviously a lot of other tax collectors, a lot of his colleagues were there. And he wanted them to meet Jesus, to hear about him. And so when the Pharisees hear about this, they say, hey, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And so I guess maybe an analogy to the present day would be, these guys would be akin to non-practicing Catholics today, or CINOs, as I like to call them. And I was one of them too for a long time. Catholic in name only, C-I-N-O. So these would be non-Torah observant persons. They didn't adhere to the written commands of Moses, and they also didn't listen to the traditions that were really, really important to the Pharisees. And so the Pharisees are like, why is Jesus eating with? Now, again, these weren't Gentiles. These were all Jewish people. So why is Jesus eating with these non-practicing Jews? Because doesn't he know that he, as a religious teacher, as a rabbi, he needs to avoid impurity. And that could happen a couple of different ways. There might be something at the party. There might be some sort of an hors d'oeuvre or something in the main course that might not be kosher. And so Jesus, you know, hey, if you're saying you're the Messiah, why are you at this party? There could be some non-kosher stuff going on here. Or you could be coming into contact with impurity, improperly washed hands. The Pharisees had all this tradition about washing hands, how it was to be done, how to wash the plates, how to wash the cups. Forget about hand washing. These guys probably weren't even using Purell. I mean, they would not fit in today. That is for sure. So lots of aspects of uncleanness. And so actually, when the Pharisees complain about this, by the way, they might even be trying to save Jesus in a way, like looking out for him. Hey, listen, we want to keep you pure here. So why are you hanging out with these guys? And Jesus says, hey, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Doctors are sent to the sick, not to healthy people. And so one thing that people often miss in this is that he says, look, these guys are sinners. They need help. They're sick. They're spiritually ill. And Jesus doesn't want to leave these guys where just because he's hanging out with them and he's willing to meet with them where they're at doesn't mean that he wants to leave them where they are. He doesn't want to leave them there. He doesn't want to leave you where you're at. He doesn't want to leave me where I am in whatever state I'm in. He wants us to take the next step toward God in the spiritual life. And there's always a next step, right? So he is not okay. Jesus is not okay with habitually sinful lifestyles like some of these people were exhibiting. And so sometimes people have taken this passage to say, well, Jesus is just, he doesn't care what I'm doing. He doesn't, you know, whether it's morally speaking or whatever, doesn't care what I believe, doesn't care what I do. No, he really does. And he wants you to fix it. He wants to fix you. So this is really key to Jesus' message. And that's why he says, hey, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And so this is it. This is it. We've got to go where the people are. We've got to invite them to come and meet Jesus. And that's there's a lot of creative ways we can do that. And you're going to have to think about how you can have your own little Matthew party for your friends, your relatives, your colleagues, your neighbors who need to know Jesus, because Jesus is, he died for them too. He wants them to take the next step wherever they may be. So thank you for joining our little party today on The Cale Clark Show. Producer Lucas Holt, once again, did a fabulous job. Karen Moran, wow, it was so great to talk to Karen again. What a great time. Patrick Alog took your calls, and we'll be back tomorrow. Timory's up next, followed by the Family Rosary Across America. Have a happy Enchilada Tuesday. It's probably the first one and the last one. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.